webcasting to the world.
You remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 27th of October 2015, broadcasting from the home of Redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting the Station of Freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say, if you are not prepared to examine and question all that you have been taught this far, even from us, then you're most likely not ready for truth just yet. And here from Houston, Texas, is that great unteacher, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, Mr. Bartlett. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you today?
Beg yours?
How are yours?
Oh, we're well, mate. We are as happy as a dog in a room full of rubber balls at this end. And you're getting all unpacked in the new house and feeling great.
I am. I think I am at probably 93% now as far as being moved in. 93.
Precisely.
I really think that would be the estimate as to the things that still need to be done.
Is that a common core education 93%, or is that an old fashioned like I've got 93 cents in the dollar 93%?
No, that's education value. Yeah.
Oh, darn! You're so far out of my orbit. I can't even come close to being as good as that. Now, Michael, this week we had a really good phone call from your friend and mine, but mostly your friend, Mr. Vic DeBrennan. Tell us what that was about.
Yes, we did, and Vic really lit a fire under me. I was very appreciative of the call, and Vic has been transcribing. He has transcribed the Book of Galatians, and he's getting ready to go off on his yearly trip. He and Deb off to Kauai. I'm so jealous. They spend a couple of months in the winter to escape Calgary each year, and he's going to start working on the Book of Hebrews and transcribing. We've had other people to do this, but we've not had anybody to do this and then say, you've got to turn this into a book.
Now, I got an email, well, it was a copy of the email that he sent you, and I thought that he had just the best idea in the world. He said, you've got the book one, the Gospel According to Mike, why not have one Galatians and one Hebrews and so forth? I just thought that was a champion idea, and obviously you do too.
Oh, I do too, and even one, the doctrine of sin, one, the doctrine of righteousness, one, the doctrine of the end of the world. Because, you know, we in the Gospel Revolution understand these in their context. Others have not had that privilege of going down the path of exhausting the subject, which we've done over the years, and then boiling it down to a presentable subject without going into the extreme detail that I've done to get there. People will remember my plan was to publish 10 books over the next 10 years.
Yes.
And it's just not done. And I have no one to blame for that except myself. So I started thinking about this, and you and I got on a conversation, and I related to you my conversation with Vic, and you really got excited about it also.
You bet.
That we would transform this PowerCast. You know, over the years, we've gotten complaints and insults And praise, we've gotten way more praise than we have complaints and insults, but our goal is to reach as many people as we possibly can, and of course our mission is the gospel. So we've heard you, we've listened to you, we've listened to our own hearts, and we're going to be focusing exclusively. It doesn't mean we're not going to do some other things on the PowerCast just for entertainment value and to help you out too. But we're going to be focusing on the gospel until you get tired of it. So we're going to be taking each part of the in each segment of the gospel revolution. Its history will be involved, and you're going to. We're going to get down to some things you might not have known about the gospel revolution, and we're going to name names as to when these things happened and what come out of them. I'm really looking forward to it.
I guess what I'm hearing you say and what I got out of that conversation we had yesterday was, and family, let me see, we've been doing this, what, 3.5 years together, you and I?
Yeah, yes, my goodness, time flies.
Yeah, and I've tried a number of different ideas, a number of different concepts that I was hoping would work, and I think some of them still do work.
They do indeed.
And that includes jingles and other things and the general presentation of the show, and I've been listening to what people have been saying in feedback, and some love it, some don't, not so much. But what I'm hearing you say is that we are going to really focus in on the CPR of the gospel. The what does that mean again?
Consistent, persistent, and repetitive. That's why I say if you get tired of it. In other words, this is going to be a show that if you want your grandma to hear it, you know, she'll be able to hear it. If you want your brother that's sitting in church, we really are going to avoid anything that would be offensive other than the gospel. Now, folks, we can't keep the gospel from being offensive. It is offensive to the religious mind. That we can't do anything about. But we are going to present the gospel as we've presented the gospel now for well over 30 years. I'm just going to ask you to rejoice in the fact that others that don't are in the process of getting it. If you're hearing something, oh, I've heard that before. And we have that group. We have that group too, you know. We were listening to that group and ignoring the other group, but now we're going to do it the reverse. You got to ignore somebody, I suppose. I don't know.
The other group is going to get a bit of oxygen now, and this is the way we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Now, I rather like it, Michael, because it was either Socrates or Plato, I forget which right now, who said, when you're trying to bring in the new, don't lambaste or don't attack the old, just put all your efforts into presenting the new. And I really do think that that's an intelligent way to go.
Well,
myself,
I agree with you, and I don't regret the time that we have spent pointing out the horrible track record in the history of Christianity. Now, let me tell you, when I say Christianity, we're not talking about Christian people. We all were Christian people. I was a Christian people. I didn't know I could be not a Christian person and be a person who is so sold out on the gospel and the work of the cross, way more than I was ever sold out on it as a Christian. In fact, being a Christian was keeping me from understanding the gospel. I never dreamed such a statement would ever come out of my mouth, Beerus.
Okay, hold on. So you're not backing down?
No.
Okay, just switching focus.
We are just switching focus. I still believe that there's so much to be said, and there may be times when it will be necessary to say it in context of juxtaposing the gospel to Christianity.
Now, listen, if we're going to change the show, there's a few other things I want to change. You need to stop using big words I don't understand because it makes me look stupid, and I don't care about your pride, but mine's damned important to my... There goes the first bleep. But mine is darn important to me.
Well, just do what I do when you use words I don't understand. I pretend like I know what you're talking about.
And you're fooling nobody, mate. Okay, moving right along now.
So we really do hope that you guys... Now, here's the other part of this, Bears, as I interrupt you.
Yes, I can see good manners isn't going to be part of this.
Never has been, never will be. please, let us know. The only way that we can get guidance... please don't think that you're going to offend us by saying offensive things about the show. Barris is one of the most thick-skinned Aussies. I mean, he is like a koala bear with fur. You might as well just throw anything at him because it's not going to faze him anyway. And I've dealt with every insult that could possibly be done to my face. So please let us know what you think, because it sharpens us. Question us. Give us your response to what we say. Ask us why we said what we said. Ask us why it's even pertinent to the conversation. Barris, I just had a conversation with a gospel revolutionary, relatively new as of a couple of years, and a good supporter. And he returned a phone call to me the other day, and we were talking, having a great time. He had questions. He kind of dropped this on me. He said, you know, I was listening to the show. I was wondering if he was listening to the show. And he said, you said that the gospel revolution was the only one on the earth that was preaching this gospel. And this is what he said to me. I thought to myself, you arrogant blank blank. Now, see, he said that to me on the phone, and I didn't hang up on him. I didn't get mad at him. So we went on, and I just, okay, let's look at that. You know, if I'm an arrogant blank blank, then I'm an arrogant blank blank. But tell me why you think that. And he said, this is coming alive around the world. He said, people are getting this. People are understanding this. And I said, yes, they are. I said, now, but what I was making reference to is there, and we are excited about this, people learning this gospel out of every culture around the world now.
I think to be biblically, you need to say every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Every TT and N.
Every TT and N. It sounds like AT&T. I like that.
Well, we could do tribe, nation, and tongue, and it would be TNT.
Oh, now that's even better.
So I told him, I said, you know, so I didn't get upset at any of this, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but if I'm right, I'm right. So I asked him, I said, yes, I said, we are very excited about the fact of what's going on around the planet. But I said, I do not personally know any ministry who is preaching this gospel in the capacity that the gospel revolution and Mike Williams' ministry is teaching it. And I said, I even put out the call, if anybody knows somebody else that's done it, either us or subsidiaries or people who have heard from us, who have picked up on it and have gone on to do great things, which we support them around the world that has happened to. But I don't know. I still, even after being called an arrogant blank blank, I still don't know of any ministry who's doing this, Barris, except Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. My goodness, this gentleman is so grateful for the gospel. He himself is learning on his own. You know, the gospel has a domino effect. This comes to the fractal nature of the gospel. All we have to do, Barris, is get one clear point across, and it is, if you hold that clear point in place, you are going to have to compare that. I started to say juxtapose, but I knew you would call me on my word that I love.
It's a great crossword word. Good for Scrabble, I should imagine.
Our goal has not changed. We are wanting to reach 1 billion people in my lifetime. We really do need your responses to this.
This is like, you know, those cruise ships or ocean liners. It's like trying to turn one of those rascals around, when it's going to take a little time for us both. And we're going to be, you're going to hear on the show, because I think we can be this transparent, you're going to hear on the show us correcting each other as we go along. And by the way, Vic DeBrennan.
Yeah.
I didn't get to call you. I was going to give you a ring after our Mike and Mai's conversation yesterday about this. And I want you to hold our feet to the fire, Vic. I want you to call us and say, and tell us where, if we're going right or if we're going wrong, because we trust you, Vic. Other people, we just don't trust them, but we trust you.
And ask us, where's the book? Because he has translated this gospel, according to Mike.
Don't ask me that. Ask Mike that. I'm already late on another book I'm editing with Randy French. So don't, yeah. Yeah, he's the one to talk to with the book.
He has transcribed this information out of Galatians, and this is supposed to be, according to his recommendation, and what we had actually set out to do after the first book, this would be a sequel to the Gospel According to Mike 1, with the added subtitle of the Book of Galatians.
Now, Mike, this month's a pledge month. Tell me, how's it going?
Not so good.
Oh, no. It started off kind of pretty well, I thought.
Yes, we kind of got off to a good start. We are...
What went wrong? What's happening?
Here's what's happening, Barris. Our support base is not broad and wide. Now, it's broader and wider than it ever has been before. But the fact of it is that we have to turn to the very same people over and over every quarter. We are doing so much better financially than we have, I think, at any point in the gospel revolution. A lot of that is just simply cutting and shaving cost and saving on every point that we can. The other part of that is that we have people who are being very consistent with their monthly contributions.
Mm. Now, can I make a point here and hope that you don't tell me to take it out of the show?
Shirley.
Did you call me Shirley? mate, isn't it also a contributing factor, and I don't know how to say this without upsetting people, isn't it also a contributing factor that we have an aging membership, and in that respect, it is inevitable that we lose donors?
Well, it's inevitable that we lose the amount that they were able, when a person goes from a thriving income to a fixed income, it makes a big difference.
Well, I was thinking of them dying off, if I can make not too fine a point.
So far, our senior citizens just keep living and living. It's been the...
Now, come on, over the last 10 years, don't tell me we haven't lost folks due to natural causes.
We have. We've lost people. Goodness gracious, that really... have passed before their time, as people would say. But it just gets tougher as you get older, and we don't want to put a burden on anyone. One thing that I will say, goodness gracious, if in estate planning, the same as you are deciding where your money's going while you're here, the same as I'm deciding where my money's going now, you must decide where your money's going to go once you have passed from this world. And it's just a fact of life, and there's no reason for us to avoid the conversation. If you want your legacy to be partly that of your support to the gospel revolution, speak to your estate planner and let them know, that, hey, we want this percentage of our estate to go to the gospel revolution. We are fully legal tax exempt, federal and state organization. We do need your help because we don't have enough monthly coming in to sustain. By the time we're at the end of the third month of the last quarter, man, we're starting to go into debt again, but not as much as we were. It's getting better. And we depend on the pledge drive to refloat the boat. And so we appreciate everything one time or monthly. And Jeff's always going for the monthly because Jeff knows exactly where we are. It helps us to budget. We can budget funds that are coming in monthly, and we've cut to the bone our expenses. Salaries could not possibly be lower. And that includes everybody who is on salary. And salaries couldn't be lower in the fact that the other half of the team that really does a lot of work in the gospel revolution, they don't get paid at all.
Yeah. 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 Marcel Rose was talking to me the other day, and he has now been operating that gospel revolution radio. He isn't paid by anyone. 3 years. 3 years it's been going up now. 24/7 gospel going out around the world.
And let me, Barris, this is very important. I am so sorry that I have to be so covert in letting you know about some of the things that's going on in the gospel revolution. But we have to be. There's people whose lives are on the line, and such as is Moses Gata and Liz in Kenya. And their lives really are on the line with the stand they've made with the gospel. We have a school in Kenya.
Two radio stations, a Catholic one and a Muslim one.
Yes, and all of these people are, you realize that this area of the world is being overrun by Al-Shabaab and terrorist groups. This is terrorist in their backyard. They've had terrorists on their street. In gunfire with local officials hiding down on the floors. This is real stuff, and yet these folks have not wavered one bit. We have another place in the world that I can't tell you about because the stakes are so high, Barris. I have the pictures of our students who are being taught by a teacher who is a student of and a total revolutionary, gospel revolutionary, son of the son of the sons of several ministers in a family. And this young man has embraced the gospel so powerfully and has left the comfort of his Western digs and gone in back into the situation of his home country. And Barris, I just got photos of the students. I see their faces, and they're these beautiful young people. And there's like somewhere around 20 of them. And they're being taught by somebody who is communicating and knows and understands the gospel. They flew here to come and spend 4 days with me just to ask questions and told me their heart. They've not asked us for a penny, not a penny. And yet, that's what I want to do. I want to help them financially and to stand in this situation. This could cost the lives of the students at any time, and certainly the life of the one who is standing and proclaiming this incredible gospel. Many people have been killed in this area for having any opinion about anything, and for them to stand there and do this. And this is not the only place in the world that this is happening. So, folks, we really are in a revolution. And if pulling on your heartstrings about something like this is wrong, it's just reality. It's what's happening. As we go about our daily lives, free to share the gospel, insult Christianity if we want to, disagree about whether we should insult Christianity or not, we have people in areas of the world that just opening their mouths is putting their lives on the line. And let me just say, in case that any of you guys, from Marcel Rose to our folks in Kenya to our folks in parts of the world that I cannot let you know about, please know that we love you. If we had the funds to send you every month to make sure that your needs were met, please believe us that we would do it. And if the time comes where we can, we will.
I don't quite know how to ask this question after that impassioned and very heartfelt monologue, mate. How's the website coming along?
Well, we are, again, of course, the issue with the website is we need to raise $2,500. That is funds that don't have to go someplace else. To initiate the website, and I've told Jeff that we are going to initiate this by the end of this month. If I got to put it on a credit card, I will. I know I'm not supposed to say that because we're supposed to leave our own personal finances out of this. But listen, we financed the Gospel Revolution so many times. I went into such deep debt, even as I was being kicked out of churches, to replenish the Gospel Revolution by selling off stocks, selling my own investments at the tune of $10,000 a whack.
Giving a house away?
Yes. Goodness gracious. We did everything we could to save it, but it had to die. So I don't regret that the entire thing died, so we could really start all over again. But if anybody has a question about our financial commitment, I'm talking about Jeff and Barris and Hazel and Marcel and Moses, myself, everyone is so in every way, including financially. Barris Bartlett pays for equipment that he shouldn't be paying for. It far exceeds the funds that we do send him. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And this is not to try to put a burden on anyone else whatsoever.
Well, let me say what I say at the end of the show. Look, a dollar a week is stuff all. It's nothing. A dollar a day is, I mean, look at the money we let slip through our fingers every single day of our lives. And if you're a smoker, let me just come down on you in this way. If you just simply gave one quarter of what you pay out on cigarettes or those vape machines or whatever, if you just spent one quarter of what you spend on those and gave it to the Gospel Revolution, you wouldn't be helping me personally. You wouldn't be helping Jeff or even Michael personally. What you would be doing, we're operating on slim margins in every area so much that every dollar you give is going to help somebody else start their journey from where you started yours. You're here today, you're listening to this today because somebody, somewhere, expended something that allowed you to learn the truth. Now, it doesn't matter who it was. It just happened that way. And as this gospel goes out into the world, it may be priceless, but it does cost money. So let me just encourage you. At the end of the show, you'll hear me post all the information about where. Just go to gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate button, for crying out loud. Just do it. or call Jeff and make a monthly donation. I mean, it ain't hard, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I think we've said enough there.
And Bear, since you and I have probably made fools of out of ourselves about all of this, but that's not something that we regret doing. It's just kind of an ongoing thing. Let's hear the voice of reason and let Jeff give us the rundown on what's happened so far in the pledge drive. Thank you, Jeff, so very much. And while you weren't able to tell us people are throwing money at us right and left, you did let us know that our faithful group of supporters are once again coming through for us. Thank you, guys, so very much. We love you. We don't love you because you're giving, but, boy, it sure does stir a lot of...
Well, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt, and it sure stirs a tremendous amount of gratefulness to you. Thank you so much. We want people to hear this gospel, and let me be an arrogant blank-blank again. I don't know of anybody else, no other ministry, while people are getting this around the planet in their own hearts, because we depend on that this is in the heart. I know of no other ministry that is preaching the entirety of the gospel from its fractal nature, where one subject is a complete reflection of all the gospel, and all the gospel explains the one subject.
Mike, I want to come back to something we touched on, 6 months ago, maybe longer, and that was dualism. We spent quite a bit of time on explaining dualism, but essentially the gospel revolution believes that mankind has come into unity.
Yes.
Not dualism. Dualism is where you've got two, at least two distinctives working in relation to each other, or at least two concepts working in relation to each other. For example, you've got God up there and us down here. You've got you over there, pagan, and me here, a good, righteous citizen. In politics, in America, you have conservatives and liberals. It's a dualistic kind of a mindset. Now, when we see this dualistic mindset take control of us, what we see is, I'm right, you're wrong. I matter, you don't. I'm Orthodox, you're a heretic. And so let's talk about heretics today a little bit, because the different subjects that we covered under dualism were heretics, holy wars. So if you have a holy war, then you must have unholy people that you're warring against. Holy places. If you've got holy places, you must have unholy places, ipso facto. If you have holy people, then you must have unholy people. If you have blasphemy, then you must have right teaching. If you have glorified suffering, such as happens in the Philippines, where people every Easter go and crucify themselves, then what's that make the people who can't do that or don't do that? If you have hell, you've got to have heaven. And so it goes.
Bearish, you know, do you know what the conclusion of the gospel is according to the scriptures? The total conclusion.
Tell me.
And they shall study war no more. This is the conclusion of the gospel. So if we are to measure, and they shall study war no more, and where the gospel gives information and where we see the full impact of the gospel, can you see that we are not reaching our goal yet? Now, why would the ultimate of the gospel be, and they shall study war no more? And I'm not talking about taking a conservative or liberal approach to this, that one's right and the other's wrong. Believe me, that we're not going anywhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when the background of the operating system for what you think about in relationship to God, that always is brought out into your relationship with others and everything else. What we're trying to do is change or see changed in everyone's basic operating system, the gospel of peace, gospel of grace. When these things get ready, we're not trying to change your political views. We do not believe that if you believe the gospel, you are going to be a hardcore conservative. We do not believe if you believe the gospel, you're going to switch to being a hardcore liberal or an independent or an anything else. But the way those ideas are carried out is what is going to be affected. Let me give two examples before we get into this. I have two very dear friends who could not possibly be on more extreme poles of opposition in politics. They could not be. They're both very impassioned. They're both very convinced. Now, I've not tried to convince either of them of their ideas being right or wrong. I just don't engage in those conversations. But we have stuck with the gospel a lot. In fact, that's what we talk about, except the levels that our friendship takes us to other things. And yet, in both of these people, I have watched them begin to say that I had one that wouldn't even, they wouldn't even eat with someone who was of the other persuasion. Mad at them. Find out that they voted for somebody. Oh, no.
Did you ever bring these two people together?
No, they've not been together, but I would like to because I know that it would be a wonderful time that they'd have together.
It'd be a great dinner party.
I think it would be, quite honestly. But the thing that has been taken out is the hatred, the venom.
Venom.
Wow. To take the venom out of those things. We're not asking anybody to decrease your passion. In fact, we're not addressing it at all. We're just saying that the gospel affects everything about life.
Well, can I reference a couple of Christian nobles? One was Wesley, and the other was a fellow called George Whitefield or Whitfield. They both came from opposite ends of the Calvinistic / Arminian belief systems. These are both totally exclusionary of each other. They just simply are. Let's not get into it here. But I mean, some of them have killed each other over the difference, and they're both Protestant. And Wesley, at the time of his death, it was said that you could tell who a Wesleyan was, or a Methodist, they're called now, but you could tell who they were by how they treated their animals. That was how deeply imbued with this mindset they were. Whitfield, when he was alive, preached to 50,000 people at a time on open territory here in the USA. I mean, these were two strident and very effective evangelists of their own mindset. They wrote letters to each other, and essentially they said, "Sorry, you're wrong." But there was no rancor.
Exactly.
Even in Christianity, even in religion, you can have this respect for each other, and you don't have to have the venom.
No, exactly. It's just not. I mean, what does it accomplish? I mean,
really?
What in the world does it accomplish? Let me tell you something. When we have that in us, it only marginalizes the views that we have.
Well, it makes us also seem unnecessary to the other side. I mean, he's just going to, you know, it ends all conversation. It's not very different, in fact, from when you say to people, "The Lord told me to do this."
Yes.
It's a conversation ender.
And see, there is a great difference, even as we've talked about Christianity. I love Christian people. oh my gosh, there are wonderful people in Christianity. There's wonderful people in Buddhism. There's wonderful people in Islam.
There's one or two atheists that aren't too bad.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And some of the atheists are just the best people in the world. But it's okay to address a system of thought or belief that you disagree with it and do it vehemently. But it doesn't mean that the person who embraces a different idea is evil. And boy, I can hear some of my friends on both sides. Oh, yes, but this was evil. Oh, yes, but this was.
Well, slavery was evil.
Yes.
But William Wilberforce was entirely a gentleman throughout. And he probably single-handedly ended slavery both in the UK and in the USA.
Well, it's and they shall study war no more. I'm captivated by that, Barris. I'm not a peace activist. I'm not a pacifist by any means. With where we are, I do still take sides in issues of war. So I still study war. But I think that the gospel's full effect, I swear, Barris, I really believe the gospel's full effect is going to affect this planet to the point to where that we shall study war no more. Now, I know that's not a futuristic verse. It's not a futuristic prophecy. But you see, the fulfillment of what happened at the cross, we're not studying war no more at all in relationship with God. But see, all of those things are the operating system for the soul and the mind, and it will renew the mind. It will renew how we deal with each other.
I want to remind folks that I have a $1,000 reward posted out of my own pocket. It's not coming out of the Gospel Revolution. It's not coming out of Mike's pocket. It's coming out of my pocket. I have thought of upping this reward, but I'll just leave it there because I think $1,000, we all need whatever we can get. But to anyone who can give me an example of the actual word antinomian, or antinomianism in any of the Greek sources for the Bible, I've got $1,000 with your name on it. The reason I'm raising this at this point in the show is because you cannot have antinomianism without having dualism. It is dualism that makes heretics and orthodox folks different. It is dualism that has God up there and me down here. It is dualism that made the Old Testament Mosaic law work. There was God, there was me, and we had to have sacrifices and priests between us. And in the New Testament, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Bible in Hebrews says, and that is looking back at the actions and the activity of the cross of Christ, his death and resurrection. And after that, now we're called a new creation. We have come into unity. God and man has come into unity. There is no more dualism. There is no more a mediator, because you don't need a mediator when mediation has already taken place. And that happened at the cross. So antinomian simply means people who are against the law. And as we explained last week, we are utterly and absolutely for the law. We don't want it broken down in any sense whatsoever, but we want to also see and hold that the law has been completely fulfilled and has been replaced now with a covenant of grace.
Preach it, brother.
this stuff gets hold of us, doesn't it?
Preach it, brother, yes.
So let's have a look at heresy and orthodoxy, which is our topic today, and let's firstly see where the word came from. The word came from, in modern English, it's heresy, came out of Middle English, was used in Middle English from about 1066, the Norman invasion, right through to about the 15th century, 16th century. That word was taken from the Old French, which was hérésie, and still close to heresy. This is a cognate, by the way. This is a word that is lifted out of one language and used as is in another language. The Indian word, veranda, is exactly the same. We took that word, didn't change a thing about it except a little bit of the pronunciation, brought it into English as Veranda. So, and then of course,
Veranda, really?
Yeah.
V-E-R-A-N-D-A.
V-E-R-A-N-D-A-H, I think it is.
Oh, I thought you was talking about the front porch.
I am.
Really?
Yes.
So,
okay.
This is fascinating. So, wait.
Wait. I'm going to get Glenn to do that, and I'm going to record it and insert it as a...
It needs to be recorded for posterity, yes. The term heresy we use on a daily basis as the term front porch.
No. I'm sorry. I was giving another example of what a cognate is, when you lift a word out of one language and put it into another. Holus bolus.
Okay. So it gets that far off when you lift it out of one language and put it in another. That's what you're saying.
Kind of.
Don't let me put words in your mouth.
Kind of. But not really. Now, the old French, erezier, or erezier, came from the old Latin, which was haeresis. And haeresis came from the Greek arazis, or it's spelled heresis. But Araziz is a pronunciation. So this word heresy was lifted from the Greek into the Latin, into the French, into Middle English, and into modern English, holus bolus. It was just simply a word that was taken, and we use it today. Now, the meaning has changed over the years. A heretic now is considered to be somebody who does not conform to orthodox views, whereas in the Greek, it simply means a choice. So, have a look at a couple of biblical references just to make this point. Heretics were simply people who had made a choice to think in a different way. The word really in its Greek and classical sense, and even today in its classical sense, means somebody who has made a choice to follow a certain mindset and to generally be attached to a larger group of the same mind. So, Republicans in America are heretics. They have a certain mindset, and they found other people with whom they agree and joined a party, so to speak. Liberals or Democrats in modern American politics are heretics. It doesn't. The right and the left, the conservative and the liberal, they are all heretics because they all have made a choice to follow a given mindset or a given school of thought is a better way of putting it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that the term heretic in our language, that's what sends you to being put on the chair and dipped in the lake and see if you're a witch or not. So, yeah, it's kind of hard for us to rethink the word heretic when the upfront reactions. If we take our understanding of heretic and say all Democrats are heretics, wouldn't go over very well, would it?
Well, if you do employ that language, you must apply it equally to anyone exactly. who has a given school of thought.
I love that because it totally destroys dualism as this word has been used to employ.
Oh, yes. Now,
you're good, Bears.
Man, my wife thinks I'm even better than good. So, who exactly is a heretic? Well, anyone who has followed a given school of thought, they're a heretic.
So everyone in the Gospel Revolution, then, is a heretic.
Every last one of them, praise God. Now...
They just have... And the difference between Catholicism, based on this word... The only difference between Catholicism and the Gospel Revolution is that they have more heretics than we do.
Well, yeah, thereby hangs the tale, which we'll get to in a minute, because we'll get to that. Now, I want us to look up a Greek word, erasis, and we're going to check this word out, and we are going to look at
all of the examples of this word in Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, brackets, which is the sect of the Sadducees, brackets, a sect. Now, in this respect, oh, and let's have a look at another one here in Acts 15:5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees.
And the term sect means what now?
It's the same word, erasis. It's the same heresy. It is the word from which we get the word heresy.
Really?
Yes. Because, see, these are people who had followed a school of thought and attached themselves to others who felt the same way. In Acts 24:5, for we have found this man pestilent, talking about Paul, I think, and a mover of sedition amongst all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes.
My goodness, Spirit.
Paul himself, in answering that charge, he said in Acts 24:14, he says, but this I confess unto you, that after the way, now the way was what was the sect of the new Christians. They were still a sect of Judaism for maybe a good, at least a quarter of a century and maybe longer, remembering that James, Peter and John were sacrificing animals at least a quarter century after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Paul says, I confess unto you that after the way, which they call heresy, so this is the same word as sect. So now we've got the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the way, which was at about this time it was becoming unstuck from Judaism. And at this time, given sects, they were thought to be worse than other sects. And in Acts 28:22, but we desire to hear of you what you think, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, talking about the way. Now, that is in the very earliest of church documents we have, that is how heresy is used. In 1 Corinthians, we see it used when Paul says, there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest, or so that some people can stand themselves out from others. But notice that they were all worshipping together. They were all eating together in this Corinthian mess, and they weren't killing each other or calling each other in today's terms, you heretic. They weren't doing that. They were living with each other in comparative peace. Now, in Galatians 5, Paul talks in verse 20 about idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Now, heresies, we see it can also apply to things in a negative sense. Peter, 2 Peter 2:1, he says, you have got damnable heresies.
Is that how Peter sounded?
That's how Peter sounded. I know it. I was there. Now, why am I referring to all these? I'm referring to these because we have to understand that in the Bible, from which modern religion claims to define heresies, we need to know that in the Bible, they all live together pretty happily. In fact, they live together pretty happily right up for at least 250 AD, maybe 300 AD. Now, that is what the Bible lists as heresies. But here's what we need to ask. Who determined who heretics would be? Answer, orthodoxy. Who was orthodoxy? Orthodoxy was a majority opinion. And how did that evolve? Well, it evolved through creeds. If you didn't agree with the stated creed of a church, you couldn't be admitted. You wouldn't be baptized. Your thoughts now were being confined and manipulated down into, I think it was Voltaire, the famous atheist, who said, if you want to see who rules over you, see who you cannot criticize. And that's one of the things that creeds did. Creeds gave orthodoxy a semblance of normalcy or a semblance of value based on the opinion of the majority.
Therefore, removing it from the standard description of heresy.
Yes.
Which orthodoxy, from what you're telling me, is just a widely accepted heresy.
It's a majority opinion, correct.
I'm getting it.
Now, Constantine converted to the Christian faith, and he converted. There were multiple, I mean multiple. There might have been 50 to 80 different Christian mindsets in the first 200 to 300 years. Gnostics is a big one. Marcionites is another one. Universalism was the biggest single one. Universalism permeated 5 out of the 6 major schools of teaching or theological college in the 200s. There were many of which eventually Orthodoxy won. Now, what happened before Orthodoxy, we call that proto-Orthodoxy or pre-Orthodoxy. Now, Constantine, when he converted to Christianity, which Christianity did he convert to? Well, that of the closest church to him. Which church is that? Well, as the emperor of the Roman Empire, it was a church at Rome. May or may not have been founded by Peter, most likely was, and very likely with the help of Paul. Now, the empire is slowly converting to Christianity. Which church's Christianity will permeate the empire? Church at Rome. How will they do this? By patronage, in converts and cash. They will actually pay other churches to elect a given or a certain bishop over another certain bishop. And what would that bishop believe in? Whatever the Church of Rome believed in. There was a lot of slaves that were set free in those days. What happened to them? Constantine sent them to other churches that agreed with him to build up those churches. And in this way, the church at Rome grew in power and prestige until the Bishop of Rome claimed preeminence over every other bishop. And today, the Pope's name is the Bishop of Rome. Now, what was the result of all this? All I know is that the same orthodoxy which gave itself that name, we didn't give it to them. They call themselves the right glory. That's the definition of that word orthodoxy, Mike. It means right glory. Doxy comes from the same word as the doxology that you sing at the end of a church service, or you used to. Ortho means right, straight, upright. So it's an upright glory, the right glory.
So is orthodoxy a Greek word in the Bible?
No. I couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible.
The same as antinomianism is not
there. You go.
Word in the Bible.
You're tumbling to it now.
I am. I'm telling you, you got my leash. Pull me down the road.
This same, now, orthodoxy, a right glory or a right belief or a right knowledge, but the Greek derivation is right glory. I'll tell you what else this right glory gave the world. This right glory gave us the Spanish Inquisition. This right glory gave us slavery in the USA. This right glory gave us, according to every single historian on the face of the planet, the Dark Ages.
Yep.
All you need to do is look at famous heretics, Galileo, who said that the earth revolved around the sun. And he was a roommate of the Pope of the time, for crying out loud, when they were in university together. He ended up dying under house arrest in poverty.
Yep.
They threatened him with death. He never got a formal apology until the year. Guess what year, mate? You guess.
He didn't get a formal apology. I would say it was probably in the last century.
The year 2000.
Yeah.
Michael Servetus. He was the one that Calvin murdered. So heretics are not just the prey of the Catholic Church, but of also the Protestant Church. I recommend to everyone to get a copy of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You want to know how orthodoxy treats people? It'll bury them up to their head in sand and wait for the tide to come in. The females, it will cut out their private parts and their breasts and make them eat it. There are things that are too foul to be talked about, which orthodoxy or the right glory gave us. So who's exactly a heretic? Well, we know that might is right. To the victors go the spoils. And one of the great spoils is that victors always get to write the history. The winners write the history.
Yeah.
And who are the winners? Orthodoxy.
Now, Barris, translating this, because we have dovetailed this into, at least I have dovetailed this into the arena of politics. So right now, what's translating this into my brain is that orthodoxy fits real well into democracy, because democracy is the majority is right.
Well, that's an interesting observation for this reason. Democracy started in Greece.
How about that?
So did that word.
Wow. Now, see, this is why this is important. And it's funny how that on both sides of the political spectrum, they will want democracy to rule when they are in the majority.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, no, everybody agrees with us, therefore it should be this way. But if it is everybody agrees on the other point, oh, no. And what do we resort to on both sides? We are a republic. We are not a democracy. The democracy doesn't rule. Everybody's views must be respected.
For our overseas friends, one of the very few republics in the world is the USA, and that's what Mike's referring to.
Yes. So, yeah, my goodness, this has really played a major role in setting boundaries for our thoughts that are illusions.
Creating divisions.
Which creates divisions. Wow. Illusions creating divisions. So all we need to break down the divisions is get rid of the illusion.
How do you do that, Mike?
Ooh, I think it's the gospel. It's the revelation. We got to help people understand that their basic operating system is we are all one. We're all one. My friend was really correct. The whole planet is drifting this direction. Oprah Winfrey is ready to do a 7-part series on 7 religions around the world with the conclusion that there is something in us that makes us all one.
When this concept hits the ground running, what kind of results could we expect?
I don't know. My gosh, it's like trying to predict the future. But the only experience that we have right now is what is happening now in Kenya. What do we have? We have Muslims, Christians, we have Buddhists, Hindus, and 7 other. I just never will forget that little line in my description of who our students were, and 7 other nominal religions. I don't even know what they would be. All of these guys get together. Now, they've gone from weekly to sporadically and unannounced meetings because of the threat of terrorism. These meetings used to be carried out that way. Isn't that odd? Isn't it odd that these people who on the outside of one being one are murdering each other, but on the inside of the understanding of being one, they're all meeting together, learning the gospel. Holy moly!
you family, you want to know where your money goes?
Yep.
That's where it goes. That's good stuff. So why are we talking about heresy? Well, there are 3 words today that I want to bring together: heresy, or heretics, dualism, and antinomianism, or antinomianism. And here is how they dovetail. Here is how they are interdependent. They are not independent of each other, never can be. When you have heretics, you have to have non-heretics, or orthotics, or whatever you call them. So you've got heretics on one side and orthotics on the other side. That is dualism. That is incontrovertibly dualism, because you've got two systems. Instead of pretending to be one in God, you've got two different things pretending to be different from each other in God. They all, everybody is somebody's heretic. So the Catholics are the Protestant heretics. The Protestants are the Catholics' heretics. We're all heretics because we all choose to follow a given school of thought. Maybe we were born into it. Doesn't matter how we got there. We're there. So this is dualism. Dualism says we are not one, but we are several. What happens also when you've got this dualistic outlook about heretics and orthotics? Well, what you've got is you do not follow the right law. You do not follow the law that you should be following. Therefore, you are, and here we come back to the invented word, antinomian. Yep. The invented word that we've seen in Bible dictionaries and read on in the Catholic Encyclopedia and so many others on the web. We've seen it called a word that came out of the Greek language. No, it didn't. It never appeared in any language until the 1500s, almost 1600. So for 1600 years, the church was getting on very well without this word antinomian. Why? Because until then, the corporation, the brain-chained corporation of venom peddlers, decided that there was going to be one thing called orthodoxy, the Roman Catholic Church.
So antinomianism, the term antinomianism, a word that was made up, created a justified, accepted corporation called orthodoxy, which it's all made up.
Totally made up. A majority opinion.
My goodness.
So that's the bottom line today. Remember, I've got a $1,000 reward out to anyone who can give me an example of the actual word antinomian or antinomianism in any of the Greek sources for the Bible or any word in the Bible that could be translated as such. Remember, this is a pledge drive month. Every new donor will get a pharisectomy certificate stating that their inner Pharisee has been removed with surgical precision by the master and teacher himself, Mike Williams. For every monthly pledge of between $10 and $50, they'll be rewarded with official sponsor certificates. Every monthly pledge of over $50 will be awarded with official producer certificates, and every monthly pledge of over $150 a month will be awarded with official executive producer certificates. These are legitimate producer certificates and carry weight wherever producerships are accepted. Remember this, a religion wants to upsize your expectations, outsource your thinking, and repurpose your existence. But God's eternal plan was just to enjoy the heck out of you and all your uniqueness. Don't forget to visit www.thetruegospel.net and order your copy of Redemptionism, a declaration for all, not a choice for a few. One of the best study guides I've ever read. Go get yours today. You know, a dollar a week is a pittance, but here at the Gospel Revolution, it can make all the difference for someone just like you starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. We run a value-for-value model here. If you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, then I am asking you to seriously consider donating a dollar a week or a dollar a day. Why don't you just call our office on area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey about how you can participate, or go to www.thegospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for us to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. You can find us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roasted. I tell you, mate, a couple of weeks ago, I forgot to mention Marcel and the Gospel Revolution Radio, and he let me know.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Thanks to Marcel Roast in the Netherlands. All the Gospel All the Time is being broadcast 24-7 at myradiostream.com/Gospel Revolution. So now, it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's goodbye from Michael Williams right here in Houston, Texas. At least for right now, it's goodbye. We love you guys so very much. All of you that are contributing, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We hope that we have given you some real wonderful food for thought. I got it. And I hope you get it too. Goodness, this is marvelous stuff. and things that will go down in history, I do believe. So we're going to be back again next week, and we are transitioning into our new format, and we hope you enjoy it. Let us know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. The thing that we need is that you let us know. Do not be silent. Speak up. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again, only...
always proven to be better.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Power Crap.
That's why you do your job and I do mine.
Whoa, 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 whoa.